For the remainder of today's broadcast, from now until 3:30, the complete ballet, Daphnis and Chloe. This Ravel composition was performed in its entirety last year during the orchestra's season, and that performance was later put on records by the Mercury Record people. The Minneapolis Symphony Orchestra and the McAllister College Choir, conducted by Antal Dorati, perform Daphnis and Chloe. Both the Daphnis and Chloe Ballet Suites 1 and 2 are taken from this music, but the music as a unit is even larger than the two suites put together.
Thank you. Charles Ryan, 20, two of the three Americans who had left their homes on the United States Naval Base at Guantanamo Bay to join the rebels back in February. Mike is assigned to a light machine gun with Fidel's rear guard. Chuck is rifle guard for the machine gun. On the rifle stock, Ryan had carved the name of a girlfriend back at the base. Later, we meet the third American, 17-year-old Victor Buhlman.
Vic Buhlman, is that correct?
Yes.
How old are you, Vic?
17.
I'm 17.
And you?
I'm Charles Ryan, I'm 20 years old.
Mike Darby, 15.
Perhaps one of you, Chuck, you seem to be the oldest and the spokesman of this group. Perhaps you'd like to tell us how you happened to come to these mountains and why.
Well, we came to do our part for the freedom of the world, mostly. We wrote letters that we wrote from the Sierra Maestra to our parents, to the President of the United States, and the oaths we signed. When we joined this movement, we told mostly about how we felt, and that explains most of it, but we just heard so much about how this, about how Batista was so cool, and how he was a dictatorship, and how with the war in Hungary and the people fighting for freedom there, we just felt moved to come here and to do our part. So we made contact and with Cuban friends and asked them if there was anything we could do to help their revolution, to help them to get freedom. So here we are now in Cuba.
Rick, it looks like, from my experience of a week up in these mountains, I would say this is a pretty rough life. How do you feel about it?
Well, it's a rough life, but I believe I'm doing it for a good cause. So it makes it much easier when you know you're doing it for a good cause.
Well, Mike Garvey, you're the youngest of this crew, and they tell me that when you first came here, you were a little bit homesick. How do you feel about it now?
Well, I feel great. I mean, I was a little homesick, but right now, I mean, I'm fine.
And Chuck, I wanted to ask you something else. We were talking the other day, and you about this business, why you had decided to come here, and you mentioned a book which you had read.
Yes, there was a book put out some time ago by Reader's Digest called Reading for Americans. It had many stories about all different American men, and it had other short stories that Reader's Digest only has about all the world in general and about the different things that are happening, and freedom fighters and different jobs that people could get, and things on education, just general American reading for Americans.
And you thought that the ideas that were expressed in these stories were the same sort of thing that
Santiago and how that the Americans have always had freedom for so long, and now that they're wanting freedom, and they were going to get it at any cost. And I had many, all of them were young boys, 15, 16, all the way up, 20, many, many people I know, and their parents, they'll give anything, their life. Working.
Vic, one more question. This isn't a question. I wonder whether any of you, of the three of you, have would like to say something. Perhaps you'd like to say for all three to the parents of there on the base.
Well, I know that both Vic and Mike would like to say something, but I'd like to say to Mr. and Mrs. Buhlman, Mr. and Mrs. Garvey, that they should be proud of their son. That they're doing a great job up here. I only hope that they can try to realize what their boys are doing. Their boys are fighting for an ideal of not only their country, of another country, Cuba, but for their country and the world. This is for world peace. And I just hope that you realize what your sons are doing.
What about your own parents, Vic? Do you have something to say?
I just want my parents to trust me and have a seat.
Sit down. You've had these recruits with you now for how long? How long have you had these boys here with you?
About 4 or 5.
You find that you're happy with them?
I am very happy and grateful to them. They have learned very much here. They are brave, and I am sure that they will be good soldiers of leaders.
But I knew how the State Department felt about these young Americans, how the Navy felt. They wanted the boys to go home.
The amount of food brought in from the outside or secured from local farmers is paid for. The rebels told us they never steal anything. They said they get money from supporters on the outside and buy what they need. Inside the remote mountain jungle. Some supplies are secured off the land itself. These men are helping themselves to wild honey found in a log. The bees are treated mighty gentle. Castro told us that in preparing his invasion, he had searched the world for the best rifle and had decided on this Swiss hunting rifle with 6-power telescopic sights. With these weapons, his sharpshooters can break a dinner plate at 700 yards. These are tough soldiers, but their handling of weapons was a nightmare to me.
Well, from his point of view, one of the lucky ones. His services are accepted. He is given money to tide over his family. Like most guerrilla forces, this one is always on the move. It is seldom that we stay in a given camp for more than a day or two. But we are moving now with a definite objective in mind. Our destination now is Pico Turquino, the very summit of Cuba's highest mountain, and clearly the place to prove that we are actually in the heart of the Sierra Maestra. Turquino is a name and a place to strike a spark from the Cuban imagination. Carry only the Cuban flag. Batista has his own flag as well. Adding to insult, our brief stay on top of the 1.25-mile high mountain provides an opportunity for testing the rebel weapons without giving positions away. This is a remarkable occasion, the end of a once-in-a-lifetime pilgrimage. And devout Catholics, for the most part, they kneel at the small shrine atop Pico Turquino. Martí in the background. Martí liberated Cuba from the Spaniards. He's the George Washington of the Island Republic. First American reporters to reach the towering statue atop Cuba's highest mountain. And it is here...
I am going to tell you what happened. Batista does not want to admit that he is incapable of defeating us. He hopes to obtain by liar that which he cannot get by force of arms. Sometimes he says that I am dead. Another time he says that there is no war in Sierra Maestra. But he won't let anyone to come here to Sierra Maestra. And when the soldiers are killed in battle, he says that they were died in accident. There have been a great deal of accidents here in Sierra Maestra last month. But never mind, because as Herbert Matthews, the reporter of the New York Times, said, "Truth will always be known
we found censor ships because they are always the prime reporter, like you two, that are willing to risk your life for seeking it out. Soon thing, when the Tirano Batista learned that two more Americans had made him a fool, he will become furious, very furious.
How have you been able for so long?
The same to fight for liberty as to fight against it. All the people of the Sierra Maestra are with us. Hundreds of men are watching the enemy movement day and night. We always know where he is, but he never knows where we are. After cold and rain and the hardship of life in the mountain, the Batista soldiers care when they are sent up here. We have struck the spark of the revolution, Cuban revolution. We have demonstrated that the tyranny is incapable to defeat us to fight for liberty. We have won several victories against a superior force, and our army grows stronger each day.